Coast to coast on the World Wide Web, this is Trot Radio on standardbredcanada.ca. Norm Borick here. Those of us who are lucky enough to make a living at being a track announcer were pretty saddened when we heard earlier that one of our own, a legend, Larry Letterman, had been diagnosed with a malignant brain tumor. You know, Larry has called some of the biggest races in North America, and he's called thousands of others over at Freehold with a style that will have you both riveted and rollicking with laughter. He joins us on Trot Radio. Larry, welcome.
Thanks, Norm. Great pleasure to be with you.
I got to tell you, as a race announcer, having you on is quite the kick for me, so it is a warm welcome we're giving you. I don't want to get too maudlin here, but it's probably the one thing folks want to know, and it's done out of good intentions. How are you feeling? Give us an update on the tumor.
Well, I'll know more on Friday. Basically, I have an MRI coming up this Wednesday. I'm coming off two heavy doses of chemo. The cure is worse than the disease, and I'll know on Friday where it's going and what it's doing.
Okay.
Hopefully they're doing everything they can to make sure it doesn't grow,
mm-hmm.
because that could cause a very, very big problem. Because of where it is, it controls, it's like your circuit breaker in your house. It controls all my motor things. And if it grows, then I don't have to get into that detail.
But yeah, right.
They're trying to shrink it and put some control of it. They cannot operate on it because it's sitting right. I'll be paralyzed if they touch it,
right.
Unless it gets off the brain stem. And if it does that, then there's a shot. So they gave me two. They want to shrink it. And most likely scenario is if you have your last $2, I'm going to have the exacto of radiation and chemo for 42 consecutive days.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, I wouldn't bet against you, pal.
Well, I'm doing the best I can. You know, honestly, Norm, it's tougher mentally than it is physically. Physically, I can take it because that goes with the territory. But knowing that every day is the same, you can't do anything. They don't want you to exercise. They don't want you to be out in the sun. And you kind of take a beating from this, and you become forgetful. And the main thing is that I'm not working. You know what I mean?
Right.
And do I miss it? Oh, I miss it terribly. I watch the TVG and the HRTV, which are the racing channels. And I stay with it, and I, play the father-husband situation. But to be home every day, I love them both, but, I got to get to work.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. guys that do what we do for a living are lifetime addicts, and you just got to do it. You've been keeping in touch, though, with a lot of your friends in the industry, and they've been checking in. You got to feel good about that.
I have the best support system in the whole world. They say there's a reason for everything. I would have never known in a quillion years that there are that many people out there that really cared. I just thought I was a guy who just went out there, had some fun, called the races, and went home and just put on the TV and and avoid the mailman with all the bills. But it's not that way. It's a lot of people came out of nowhere. People I haven't seen in 20 years, 25 years, got in contact with me. People I never knew. Jeff Goral has been terrific.
What a great guy he is.
Oh, my God. He has been a saint for me. He had the fundraiser. He's been terrific. Everybody's been great. Barry Abrams, who raced Guts back in 84, I just spoke to him and said that I think he broke half of Canada when Guts broke at Greenwood. Legal notice, and John Hayes won the race.
Mm-hmm.
So he said he broke half of Canada there, and he said he's probably barred from the country for that race. And I said you should be barred from this country too. But he's been going through his issues, and he's been a big supporter, a very big support system for me. But like you said, people have been absolutely wonderful and terrific, and it's a hard way to find out, but whatever it is.
But hey, you know what? It works. I mean, you got to feel great about that.
Absolutely.
Three of my greatest Larry Lederman lines, obviously, the big one was the, and I can't remember the name of the horse, but you went on a riff with it, and it was, Hakalea Hukawana, whatever it was. Remember that?
Yeah, that was the Jera Wuku Naka Hara Manoa Udawa. I'm not exactly the conventional announcer.
No.
And basically, when the horses were coming to the gate and the gate was rolling into the stretch, I had no idea who was in the race. Because I just would never look, and I'd learn them as they go along.
Really?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I couldn't tell you when the gate was rolling. I couldn't tell you one horse that was in the race.
For crying out loud!
I would do it. I get away. Since I'm doing it so long, your little tricks and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, make a long story short, because you're an announcer. We did it by colors, and once I saw the driver, I knew the thing. And we had the same horses racing every week, so it's not a big deal.
Right.
I looked up the program, and I see this name. And I go, oh my God, what is this? And I said, whatever comes out of my mouth, that's what's going to be. And I called him every name in the book, and I figured somewhere in there, it looks like 1,000 points in Scrabble, but I'm going to just call it whatever it is. And about six, and I called him every name, and it's funny, so 6 months later, I got an email from the owner from Australia, and he says,
really?
Mate, I let me tell you how to pronounce this horse. And I said, before you do that, and he did it, and I said, I actually figured it out along the way, but I'm having a lot more fun with it, doing it this way.
Listen, you think that stuff, we had a horse up here in Ottawa that I had to call named Nuckinfuts. Swear to God. Swear to God. My other two favorite Larry Lederman lines, it was Labor Day a couple of years ago. They got to the half, and you inserted one of your famous, this begs the question, if it's Labor Day, how come we're not working? And
yeah.
The other one, you had a horse, I think it was called To the Moon Alice. It was boxed in at the three quarters, and you said, To the Moon Alice is crammed in. I thought, brilliant. That is brilliant.
Yeah. Well, we always try to think. One time I had a phone call. It was during the election when Bill Clinton was in trouble with kind of his things that he was doing in the White House.
Yeah.
And I got my phone started ringing in my room, and you could hear the phone going over the TV. and they were going to the three quarters, and I said, "Hold on, everyone." And I go, "Hillary, I can't help you with Bill. You're going to have to work this one out yourself." And I just hung up the phone, and I went back calling the race.
Isn't that great? You can get away with that. And the nice, and you know, here's what gives you cred, though. You've called some of the biggest races, okay, when you worked at the Meadowlands and so on. So nobody can, and you called them straight, obviously, because they were of their magnitude. You've deserved, you paid your dues and had the right to do things your way. Obviously, and I've heard you say this before, your feeling is, look, as announcers, we tend to take ourselves a little bit too seriously. So why not have some fun?
Unfortunately, most announcers do. I don't. There's a time and a place for everything. If there's an accident or a horse goes down,
right.
I empathize with them because, you know, I'm scared to death of horses. Five floors away is close enough for me. And I got total respect for them. And there's, like you said, there's a time and a place for everything.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the big races, do I rise to the occasion? I've called nationally. I have paid my dues. I've done everything. And, you know, there's I want to help the sport. Do I write some lines for it? Yeah, yes, I do, you know, for the big races.
Mm.
And sometimes they come up, sometimes they don't. But, once there was one night I remember there was a horse named Something Pizza, and he won by like a head. So I said, it's pizza something by a slice.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't even remember, you know, and I said, that was pretty good, because sometimes you don't predict it. But the thing is, you know, it's a sport. It's entertainment.
That's right.
And you know, and no one ever looked at it like that except for me from the beginning. And someone had told me back in the early 80s, they said, Larry, you're 20 years ahead of your time.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't understand. Because what's it, you know, why shouldn't we have fun? Does John, you know, I'm sure you have announcers up who do your football games or whatever sports,
mm-hmm.
hockey, he likes to have some fun with it.
Sure.
I like to have fun with it. But there's like I said, there's a time and a place for every people are betting their money. There's got to be a certain thing. Don't get a laugh out of a 1-9 shot breaking because some guy may have just, you know, lost his piggy bank, his house, his wife, and, you know, and three of his best friends.
Exactly.
So you got to look at it like that. There's a time and a place for everything, but that you got to know from having the sense to do it.
Yeah.
But why not have some laughs if you can? But you know, the main thing is, Norm, you got to call them right.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm still working on that.
Practice makes perfect.
Yeah, I tell you what, I get my chance three nights a week. Sometimes, you know, some days are better than others. You know, what can I say? There's a group of people in harness racing that are participating in something called Movember. It's more of a prostate cancer awareness movement, but it involves men growing mustaches for a month. If there were people in harness racing you'd like to see grow a mustache, who would they be? Who would rock a mustache like no one else?
I think Jackie Mo would look great with a handlebar.
You know, you're right.
You know, he's got that kind of face for it. I remember that from seeing from Jackie. Let's see. You know, you'd be pretty funny, the ones you take with the baby faces.
Yeah.
You know, maybe like the Greg McNairs or something like that, and put a little mustache on him. You know, it looked like something that was drawn in, even if it was real.
Oh, for sure, get that baby face look. See, John Campbell, you can't include him because he's had that for years.
Mm-hmm.
What else we got? Rick Zeron. How do you think he's had a mustache though?
Yeah, exactly. I'm trying to remember all the faces. I haven't seen a lot of them. I could say local guys that you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know that would look good. Good with the handlebar.
I think Kenny Workin and I have one. What do you think? You think he'd look good?
No, I don't think so.
Probably not.
Kenny doesn't have a mustache. Maybe a full beard like that guy Wilson who pitches on the Giants.
Oh, yeah. Kenny with that? Oh, man, he looked like Rip Van Winkle, man. I mean, the guy's skinny enough as it is. You know something, Larry, you sound great. And it's so encouraging to hear that. And you know what? You're going to beat this thing, man.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm doing the best I can. You can't fool yourself into saying, I mean, it is what it is. Unfortunately, it is malignant, and it is a brain tumor. But I've done everything. I told them, you are my Ralph Cramdens. I am your passenger, and wherever you drive me, that's where I'm going. I don't argue with them. I bring them a cake once in a while, and I said, guys, get this right, and please make it good. don't make any mistakes.
No, for sure. I hope you're all Republicans. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, well, you
never want to get too close with your doctors, if you know what I mean.
No, I hear you. You don't want to give them the wrong tip on a race either.
Right, exactly.
You know, there are so many people that are pulling for you. And as I said at the beginning, Larry, none of us are going to bet against Larry Lederman. Keep at it, my friend. And it will not be too long before we're hearing you in the booth again at Freehold.
Well, I tell you, I just want to say one more thing, Norm. I appreciate you having on. And I just want to tell you, one of the greatest times I had in my life was doing for the 2 years that I did it at Georgian.
Oh, yeah.
Thing. I had such a ball then, and that to me is one of my lasting memories. If someone said, what are the five things you'd love to do over again, that's certainly one at the top.
Well, I'm sure that the people at Georgian are going to want to know that, because I got a feeling that you probably got an open chair over there, my friend. So keep at it.
I will, and I appreciate all the words and all the support you've given me, and say hi to everybody in Canada, and Greg Blanchard and the people I know up there.
Will do.
You guys are terrific, and have a great Breeders' Crown.